You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the Father's Quilt. As you know, this brand new year, we are talking about angels and the supernatural. And today we are continuing with the hierarchy of angels. And as I said before, there is an order. And the first three choirs are the, I asked, sort of left you hanging and thinking if you knew what those first three, well, the seraphim, the cherubim, and the thrones. They are the most fully godlike, right? They are consumed by and focused on the adoration of God and the singing of his praises. The seraphim means incandescent ones or burning ones. They are traditionally depicted with six wings, as described in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. These angels are the ones closest to God. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux says that God, who is love, has so drawn and assimilated them to himself, so filled them with the ardor of affection that burns in himself, that they seem to be one with him. According to Saint Jerome, they inflame others with that same love for God. So that was the seraphim. The cherubim. Cherub means all-knowing one, or to contemplate the divine splendor. They are not chubby children, okay, as often depicted. The prophet Ezekiel describes them as having four wings and four faces in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. Their four-faced representation signifies God's omniscience. Okay, they have profound knowledge of divine secrets. Theirs were the only images permitted in the Temple of Jerusalem. In a similar fashion, cherubim are often portrayed near tabernacles and on Eucharistic vessels. The next one is called the thrones, and maybe you haven't heard of that before. The name of thrones refers to the throne of God's mercy and is absolute authority over all things. They are usually depicted as a winged wheel studded with eyes, inspired by the description in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 12. They reflect God's power, the stability and judgment, being subservient to their Lord. The thrones display special characteristics of submission and peace and are involved with his judgments and decrees. That's the superior hierarchy. The next comes the middle hierarchy. And this is the second set of choirs. And remember I mentioned in the last broadcast that a choir, like I belong to my senior choir, and there's about the top we've had maybe 60 people. No, this is beyond 60. It's beyond 6,000. It's beyond 6 million. It's beyond, right? So when we think of a choir, we better think about an immense, a huge, I don't know how to describe it to you, but a lot of angels in a choir, okay? So the second set of choirs contains the dominations, virtues, and powers. They are governors of the cosmos. They're overseeing and bringing about the will of God for the universe. And while all angels have power over material elements, this hierarchy in particular has stewardship over creation. So when we talk about the dominations, the word dominion, dominionations, maybe that might be a more appropriate way, or lordship. They govern the cosmos and oversee the angels who are directly responsible for administering creation. They mediate God's supreme power over the universe and appoint the things which are to be done according to his ministrations. The next one is, the next choir is the virtues. And in the Latin, of course, it means strength or power. It's believed that this choir wields raw power over the physical elements of our world, creating what we perceive as miracles. So according to Father Horgan, they are lords of casualty and the principles of cosmic order. By carrying out the commands of the Most High God, they work tirelessly for the world's well-being. The powers is the next set of choir of angels. These angels protect God's creation from hostile forces. The powers do so in a particular way, my friends, and they operate on a higher level than our personal guardian angels. They protect the very laws of creation from God's enemies. They repel hostile powers and constrain evil spirits. They are believed to introduce man to the higher mysteries. This is noted by Father Horgan. Then we have the lower hierarchy, the third set of choirs. They contain the principalities, the archangels, and the choir that is most accurately named angels. These three choirs, writes abbot and spiritual author Henri Marie Boudin, are especially engaged in the care of men, of kingdoms and provinces, and of other things which particularly regard the good of men. So we have the principalities, and they have executive responsibility over the world of men. They are to be understood to guard nations and peoples and are believed to aid the spiritual life and structure of the church. Some Catholic authorities suggest that we seek their prayerful intercession for our soul's transformation. Since our nature is so weakened by sin, they are eager to help us. Oh, beautiful. Don't you love it, brothers and sisters? The principalities. So, you know, call upon them, right? Next one are the archangels. There is a very strong devotion to the choir of archangels among the faithful, okay? This is fitting because they are believed to protect countries, dioceses, religious communities, and persons such as the Holy Father, who have monumental responsibilities. Archangels have a particular role in God's plan of salvation, as seen in sacred scripture. There are seven archangels, That you'll find in the Bible, in the book of Tobit. Tobit, T-O-B-I-T, Tobit, chapter 12, verse 15. But only as the names of three have been revealed, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. The church has not approved any other suggestions as to the identity of the other four, since the names are not part of divine revelation. And finally, we come to the angels. The choir, known simply as angels, is the one most immediately engaged with the activities of human beings. As mentioned in before, the name angel means messenger or one sent. Guardian angels come from this choir, though not every spirit in this choir is necessarily a personal guardian. Our personal guardian angels are powerful guides and warriors. They thwart the demons that want to harm us and motivate us to fidelity in all things. So, brothers and sisters, if we said, can I pray to my guardian angel, or can I ask my guardian angel in prayer? Let's say I'm praying my rosary and just preface it before I begin my rosary, just ask the Holy Spirit and my guardian angel, or calling out my angels to be with me today, to give me a gentle mouth, a gentle heart, a pure heart, you know, protect me today if I'm doing something or going through something. Yes, absolutely, right? We ask, right? Remember, brothers and sisters, everything is according to God's will, right? They are answerable not to us. They are answerable to God. But we can ask. And in prayer, we pray. As St. Padre Pio said, we pray, right? We hope, and we don't worry. We pray, we hope, and we don't worry. That's so important for us to grasp that before we, you know, as we continue through this. Always remember who's in charge, right? Who's in charge? The glory of angelic communications as members of a fallen race, and we're all residents of an imperfect world, we may feel the seamless interactions of the angelic hosts are really unrelatable, or they're mystifying. We might even wonder, how could there be perfect satisfaction and peace among hierarchies of unequal power and intelligence, like among themselves? But in heaven, every choir of angel attends to the fulfillment of its own office without envying or desiring the office of another. The greater glory of an angel from the first hierarchy does not diminish the glory of an angel from a lower hierarchy. In fact, angels from the higher choirs communicate the intelligence and understanding that they receive from God to the lower choirs. The angelic choirs or orders exercise their power by enriching and perfecting the angelic or human intelligences that are immediately below themselves. This indeed is a very harmonious and beautiful conception of God's family in heaven and on earth. They are all joined together in charity among themselves and are all united in God with divine love. The angels are an example for us. We too are called for such holy generosity and perfect unity in our own communities, both here on earth, in the church militant, and in heaven. We know that even among the saints, some have a higher glory than others, just as here on earth. Some people have vast responsibilities, while others have small ones. This is part of the beautiful design of God. The differing glory of each saint does not diminish the perfection of his love for each individual soul. So, now that we've learned about the traditional hierarchy of the nine choirs, we're going to take a closer look at some of their duties. If only some of the angels are guardian angels, What are the others doing right now? So we're going to do that right now in terms of taking a look at what the rest of them are doing. All right. So are you hanging in there with me? That's good. Yeah. All right. That's good. Very good. I'm very happy that you're with me. And I really hope you're enjoying it as much as I'm enjoying sharing my love of angels and this whole thing. I thought is such a wonderful topic that I thought I just can't walk away from it. So now at this point, we have a good understanding of the angels' identity and their hierarchy and the vast number of angels in the universe. Okay, vast is like an understatement. And their organization into strikingly different choirs, right? So now, what are they all doing right now is our question. Angels are indeed at ceaseless work on the earth, right? Throughout the cosmos, and at all times, my friends. Our inability to see evidence of their presence doesn't make it less real. Yet it is not their invisibility alone that keeps such activity hidden. We have to remember that angels do not exert control over human will. We aren't continually bumping into them or forcibly prevented by them from making a bad or an evil decision. Although they have the power to intervene in our lives, such intervention may not always be in accordance with God's will, and their whole pleasure lies in doing just as He wills and only what He wills. But the angels certainly do assist us in countless ways. The angels work together for the benefit for all of us, says St. Thomas Aquinas. Okay, so let's think about Dom Cyprian Vagagini. Okay, sorry. Anyways, he said, the angels in particular serve as intermediaries between God and the faithful here below. They reveal to them the designs of God. They intervene in the battle of His ministers in order to punish the enemy, especially by the means of the material elements over which they have power. Okay, under the leadership of their chief, Michael, they even engage directly in the struggle against Satan and his satellites. So let's talk about that little summary of Dom Vagagini, right? So the five roles of the holy angels, we will never know this side of heaven, all that the angels do and have done for God and His church. Yet sacred scripture and the writings of saints and the theologians have really clearly depicted five roles that are performed by angels. And these roles are messengers, they're stewards, warriors, guardians, and most importantly, adorers. So let's look at each one of these, okay? The angels as a messenger. God has often chosen to communicate His will men by means of His angels. We can read about the angels performing the duties of a messenger in both the Old and New Testament. Even now, they act as messengers on our behalf. We can send our personal guardian angels on errands of mercy for others. Saint Padre Pio, for example, received constant visits from the angels of his spiritual children who brought him their prayers and messages. It is through their mediation that the grace of the knowledge of the mystery of Christ comes down even to us. For example, the Archangel Gabriel announced to Zechariah the coming birth of Saint John the Baptist, the greatest and last of the prophets. And likewise, it was Gabriel who announced the coming of the Messiah to the Blessed Virgin and told her of the immense role in God's plan for his salvation. Another angel instructed Saint Joseph in his own mission for the sake of the Christ child, and angels announced Christ's birth to the shepherds. Their role as messengers continue in our lives today, my friends, right? They continue today. The next one is the angels as stewards. Well, according to descriptions of the angelic hierarchy, the angels of the second and third choirs act as stewards of creation. A good steward ensures that the will of his master is carried out. He oversees the care and maintenance of the master's goods while remembering that they are not his own, even if he tends them. This is what the angels do. They do it cosmically. Okay. The next one is the angels as warriors. Ever since Lucifer rebelled against his creator, the angels who remained faithful to God have been his warriors. They continuously fight and repel evil spirits. They engage in this warfare for the glory of God and for the eternal salvation of men. They desire to help us to overcome our sinful nature and obtain heaven. And this warfare is the inspiration for depictions of the holy angels in armor, wielding various weapons. And such artistic depictions hint at the spiritual power of the heavenly hosts. So we see the angels acting as warriors both in the Old and New Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, "And that night the angel of the Lord went forth and slew 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies." In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7 and 9, "Michael and his angels battled with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And that great dragon was cast down, the ancient serpent, he who is called the devil and Satan." The holy angels fight with the power of God. They are formidable warriors, my friends, zealous for the accomplishment of his will and for the praise of his glory. The next is the angels as guardians. We are most familiar with this one, right? And this is not just a fanciful sort of consolation for kids. It's a truth. It is a truth well attested throughout Scripture and even referenced by Jesus himself. "Thus Abraham, when sending his steward to seek a wife for Isaac, says, he will send his angel before thee." In Genesis 24:7, Judith accounts for her heroic deed by saying, "As the Lord liveth, his angel hath been my keeper." And that was in Genesis 13:20. So these passages and many like them through Genesis, Hosea, 1 Kings, Acts, Psalm 33, receive their compliment in our Savior's words, "See that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Even when we commit grave sin, my dear friends, our angel remains with us. He strives to inspire us with compunction and the desire to return to the sacraments and to Christ when we've gone astray. Their duties and responsibilities encompass all the aspects of human life, our spiritual lives, our temporal lives, our physical and mental well-being. We learn more about our guardian angels more as we go on, brothers and sisters. The angels as adorers, well, created to praise God, right? To share in his divine life. Therefore, the primary duty of the angelic hosts is to offer fitting worship to the one who created and sustains them by the power of his goodness and love. They see him face to face and rejoice to glorify him and all the works of his hand. All I can say is, wow. Wow, they see him face to face, and their job is to praise and glorify him. What's our job? What's our job? Are we not to praise and glorify our Lord? Aren't we to give thanks in everything he does for us? And in everything, in the challenges and the toils, the disappointments of life, the good things, the laughter, the joys that we experience here on this earth, the blessings we've received, we are also to praise and glorify him. You know, adoration is the angel's primary duty. Every angel adores the Lord from the very depths of his being. The angel's adoration is the most perfect expression of their union with God. At the end of time, when the devil attacks on mankind, have been irrevocably crushed and brought to an end, when spiritual warfare is no more, where there is a new heaven and a new earth, where there is, in fact, no longer a need for some of the angels' current activities, their role as adorers will continue for all eternity. And knowing all this about the angels, catching a glimpse of their duties they perform so faithfully, how are we to treat them? What's the proper response to the presence of angels and to the fascination that they inspire in us? Is there a wrong way to reverence the angels? Well, we're going to know about that more likely next time. Do I hear an awe? Oh, brothers and sisters, I love learning about angels and heaven, and everything I can pick up and share with you just gives me such great joy to have and to share with you. So the next time we get together, we will be talking about how to behave toward angels. And you're thinking, oh, really? You mean there's a certain way we should be behaving, right? So that is going to be the next broadcast on here on the Father's Quilt. And I really hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast here in the new beautiful month, a new year, and it's still our Christmas season. So again, brothers and sisters, if you want to drop me a line, please do. It's a quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at radiomaria.ca. If you wish to have a comment, maybe an angelic experience, you may want to write it. You don't have to give us your name, but we would love to share some of these wonderful angelic encounters with our listening audience. Everyone needs encouragement these days, don't they? And there's nothing more powerful than a personal testimony. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with me every Tuesday and Friday afternoon. And God bless all of my listeners and listeners to come. And I thank you. I thank all the amazing people here that work at Radio Maria Canada, bringing you the best of Catholic radio. It's so wonderful. And I thank especially my dear brother in Christ, Alex Diaz, our program manager. God bless you, Alex. Thank you so much for being with me, for supporting me. And thank you to all our people everywhere who love Jesus. God bless. See you next time, everyone. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just